All right, golfers, welcome to On Par with Anthony Scorsia. Thank you for joining me this morning, Saturday, May 2nd, 2015. You're going to have to excuse the voice today. The pipes are a little hurting, working on a little cold here. Doesn't matter how healthy you eat. It's just a matter of time when you have children that you're gonna get sick. So please forgive the scratchy pipes this morning. But looking forward to having a great show today. My guest is PGA head professional Glenn Arbor of Glenn Arbor Golf Club, Bedford Hills, and just an all-around super guy, and really thankful for him giving me his time this morning out of his busy schedule. The man does pretty much everything. You've seen him on TV, you've seen him online, you may have read his books, seen his band. He's just an amazing individual and a well-respected PGA professional in the Met PGA area and across the country. So looking forward to talking with him. We have a lot to talk about, so I'm going to go to my first break and we'll come back. We'll talk with Brian Kroll. You're listening to On Par with Anthony Scorsia.
The Long Island Golf Association is a nonprofit organization of 81 private and public clubs. The LIGA conducts 15 championships annually and works closely with the Long Island Caddy Scholarship Fund. The scholarships are granted to young men and women who are employed at member clubs. For more information on how you can participate in a championship, or if you'd like to donate your time as a volunteer, please call the LIGA at 516-746-1015. 1015. That's 516-746-1015, or visit us at www.longislandgolf.org. Is your inspection due? Are you tired of listening to that noise your car is making? If you're looking for a reliable shop to service your car, try A1 Action Auto for all your car service needs. A1 Auto is a New York State certified shop, and owner Ed Terabile has over 25 years of experience. A1 Action Auto is conveniently located off Sunrise Highway in West Islip, so pick up the phone and call A1 Action Auto at 631-321-4242. That's 631-321-4242.
All right, welcome back to the On Par Radio Show. I'm your host, Anthony Scorsia, and pleased to have on the show PGA head professional of Glen Arbor Golf Club, Brian Kroll. Brian, how you doing?
Hey, Anthony, how are you doing? Thanks for having me on the show.
Oh, no, pleasure. I've been looking forward to this ever since we met. I knew I wanted to have you on. You're a dynamic and articulate instructor and a great personality, and I'm just happy to have you.
Well, I really appreciate that. The intro was heavy, man. I'm humbled.
Well,
very cool.
Well deserved. In that intro, and I listed all these things that you do, and I just wonder where to start. Where does this passion for golf come from? And if there was one person that gave it to you or imparted it on you, I know a lot of it comes from within. You can't do something like you do without loving what you do. But was there a certain influence who sort of introduced you to the game and sort of ignited this passion?
Yeah, I mean, I have to go back to my grandfather who lived next door to us, and I was really upset as a kid because I got cut from the high school baseball team. And, you know, I was devastated like any kid would be that was trying to make the team. And he put a golf club in my hand and had a bunch of shag balls, and we were hitting them out into a field, and I hit that one pure shot. I mean, I still remember the feel.
Sure.
Of that 7-iron, that everything clicked and it was perfect, and the ball sailed out there effortlessly, and I was hooked, and I just had to have more of this. And he ended up cutting holes in his lawn around the house and putting coffee cans in them, and I could remember chipping around his house for hours and days and weeks, and I just loved it.
Amazing. So we have that coach to thank for your career. That's excellent.
That's right. All the way back to my grandfather there who got it started. And my parents were kind enough to keep it going. And I had a junior membership at a little club upstate called Osiris Country Club that I still play once in a while and love it. But it just kind of took off from there.
And when did you know that you were going to be a teacher? Was that like something that just sort of evolved in through high school, college? Like, when did you know that this was what you were going to do?
Well, I'm going to throw out another name there, a friend of mine, Paul Radetzky. In fact, he's a Long Island native, and he's now living down in Florida. But he was a college friend of mine, and we were playing some golf up there. And to be honest with you, I had kind of a slice that I managed throughout my junior career, but never really figured out. And this guy, Paul, spent like 15 minutes with me, changed a couple little details in my setup, and I was instantly going from shooting mid-80s to low 70s. I mean, it took like 2 weeks. So it was exciting to me how quickly people could learn. And I've kind of refined some of the stuff Paul told me, and I wrote a book called Slice Free Golf. And the exciting thing about golf to me is that it doesn't necessarily need to be a long, difficult task to get better. It can be instant. Almost overnight, you can drop 10 strokes in a week if you find the right instructor. And I love that the feeling of possibility with what you could help someone with, that aha moment. And it's been a thrill to give my students that as often as possible.
Do you think people confuse that a little bit? Since you brought up the point of, you know, a lot of people say that if you don't know in the first, if you go see somebody and they don't help you in the first 15, 20 minutes, you know, maybe something's not right. Would you say that golfers confuse that with, let's say, the maintenance of a swing when they're going to see a professional?
Well, I think you could probably take that too far, and we all know the students who want more than is proper. I mean,
sure.
you have to manage expectations.
Yep.
And there are many cases where there's so much potential and they just need a couple fundamental fixes and they can go far. But
mm-hmm.
You're right. You have to manage the expectations, and I think it differs from student to student. But especially when you're a higher handicap player.
Sure.
I've found, Anthony, that you can really help someone drop a lot of strokes. If someone's already managing their way around the golf course pretty well, it's not going to be as dramatic.
Sure.
But it's exciting when someone is struggling with ball flight or just making contact regularly, because you can really help them fast.
Yeah, I think that people missed the point when you're talking about a teacher of anything. It's easy to teach the expert, the Tiger Woods, the elite golfer, but there's a lot of joy that comes from being able to help somebody who's a 30 go to 20 or a 20 to 15. You know, like you said, it's easier to make that jump than it is to go from a 2 to a scratch or something like that. But you know, the joy and the feeling inside you get from being, you know, from helping that person, because anybody can work with the best and everybody wants to work with the best. But I think, to me, the more reward is almost the higher handicap.
Oh, it is. And I think we have this opportunity to get people excited about golf and start to think about the possibilities. And if you really want to help somebody, it's fantastic. And I think that for the most part, PGA and LPGA instructors out there are the way to go. Sadly, I think a lot of buddies and friends who want to help out someone who's struggling can send them down the wrong path. I mean, they have good intentions, but I would really recommend that your listeners head to a PGA professional if they can to really see what the possibilities are with their game.
Yeah. What's that saying? And it goes for any industry. Everybody's an expert, you know? and that's part of the problem. And I want to return back to your teaching and the stuff that you're doing, but I want to circle back jump back to the Masters, because I wanted to talk to you about the unique experience that you get to have being being on the grounds and being, first of all, it was a wonderful Masters. I mean, Spieth, what a wonderful champion. Just talk about that week for you and what it means to you as a golfer, as a broadcaster, just the overall experience.
Yeah, well, to have the opportunity that I have with CBS, I am incredibly thankful to them, and I'm just thrilled to be a part of that Masters coverage. To go down there and listen, I feel like a kid in a candy store when you walk through the gate. It's just unbelievable, and I'm sure that the people who are listening who have been there know what I'm talking about.
Sure.
But it doesn't change, and to feel like you're a part of history, really, and covering these very special moments. And that week has so much about it that's special that I think people just would be crazy not to see. But, you know, the tradition, the history. I love Wednesday, believe it or not.
Sure.
And of course, that's not televised as strongly as the rounds of Thursday through Sunday. But
right.
The par three contest, the practice rounds, the involvement with the kids and the families in that par three event. Jack Nicklaus making that hole in one, the first time he's ever had a hole in one at Augusta anywhere. It was just really a thrill this year, especially.
Any golfer, anybody who loves golf, is so excited for the Masters, and you almost can feel it. How palpable? I know it's difficult to put into words, but how palpable is the excitement when you get on the grounds? Can you feel it?
Oh, in instant.
Yeah,
and everybody, especially this year, I think we all know how long and painful the winter was up here in the Northeast.
Sure.
So the Masters kind of signifies the beginning of spring and the beginning of the golf season in many ways, and I think people were just so hungry for it. And
yep.
You get down there, and the conditions, as always, were perfect. You walk into the sights and the sounds and the smells. It was just. You know, it's such a great feeling, and you know you're going to see something exciting every single Masters, but all the sights and sounds are there. It just reminds everybody of why we love this game.
Sure. Yeah, exactly. And it's sort of the passage of spring, at least, you know, you'd like it to be, even in the Northeast up here. Even when it doesn't necessarily feel like it in the mornings, but yeah, you could almost sense it. I mean, even people on Twitter, the way they talk, the way they interact, there's just this excitement and almost like a little edge. People just want to get it going. It's the first major of the year. We've waited, 10 months or whatever it is for it to come, and so yeah, it's just amazing to feel. I can imagine what it's like being there And let's face it, you do a remarkable job. You did the as part of their in-depth coverage. You were on the range a bit. I saw, and I was
yep.
watching. How fun is that? Being able to watch them players warm up, getting ready for the first major of the year, and do you get to bring any of that back to your students?
Oh yeah, I mean we're able to watch how these guys talk, how they think, how they practice, how they prepare. And it's really, really cool to get in their heads for a little bit. And to be honest with you, I kind of get lost in the whole thing.
Sure.
I feel like it's such a special week, but I'm kind of seeing the golf course and the game through the eyes of these great players. But I'm also able to bring some of that back to Glen Arbor, which is a treat. And some of the techniques they use to prepare, not so much on tournament days, but...
Sure.
In the days leading up to the tournament, I think it's really cool to see how their process changes. They work a little bit more technically early in the week, and you'll see more devices and launch monitors and video. And then as it gets to the tournament days, it's much more about rhythm and tempo and just doing the simple things that help them perform their best. They don't want to get as technical. It's more of a feel. Game as we get to the tournament, but really, really special.
What would be the one thing that you would say has been that stared back at you the most, and that you've brought to your members at Glen Arbor?
Well, I'll tell you what I'm going to go back to tradition and trying to find entertainment and fun. Because really, I think that's what golf is all about anyway.
And yeah.
I think as PGA professionals, we are all entertainers. We have to find ways not only to give great information and inspire our students, but we have to find ways to keep them entertained and having fun and want to come back. So I think the Masters does an incredible job of that with on a number of fronts. One, I already mentioned the par three contest, also the ceremonial tee shots. We've actually, in fact, this idea is cool. The par three contest was part of what drove an idea at Glen Arbor to make all nine first holes into par threes. So we're going to have a twilight event, and we're going to create different length par threes and turn a par five, bring the tee markers all the way up to 180, and play that as a par three. So we're going to have nine par threes in an upcoming twilight event. It's supposed to be fun.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Nine holes, but it's kind of neat to make our own par three contest. And again, that goes to speed of play, having some fun, a different perspective, lower scores,
yep.
People getting more birdies on the card. So we're trying to take some of the cues from Augusta and bring them to our facility.
Absolutely. That's fantastic. I love that idea. We're going to take a short break. And just before we go to break, let me just say to the listeners, if you're not familiar, I mean, it's the fact that Brian is asked to come back every week or every year to go to Masters is just speaks volumes about his professionalism and how good he is as a broadcaster, because you know, the Masters has a very high standard, and if you're asked to come back every year as part of the CBS program, it means you're doing something very, very well. So kudos to you for that, Brian. It's just
Thank you, Anthony.
Tremendous effort, and I know the pressure that it comes with. So just want to just say that for those listening, it's really it speaks volumes about Brian as a broadcaster and as a teacher. So. It's really well done and good on you. So we're going to take a short break and more with Brian Kroll when we get back. You're listening to On Par with Anthony Scorsia.
Pete's Golf. Since 1979, Pete's Golf has been practicing the art of club fitting and has been selected as a top 100 club fitter by Golf Digest magazine. At Pete's Golf, we use the best technology available to create an exceptional fitting experience for every customer that walks into our store. Visit petesgolf.com or call 516-248-6891. That's 516-248-6891 and get your next set of clubs fit for you.
La Marmite Restaurant is a Long Island landmark. The tradition remains, but the menu, music, and vibe are all new. Golfers enjoy our wine selections from the vineyards of Ernie Els, Luke Donald, Jack Nicklaus, and Jim Nance, along with music on Friday and Saturday nights. Visit our website at lamarmiterestaurant.com for more details. Choose La Marmite for your next night out. We'll make it a special one.
All right, welcome back to On Par with Anthony Scorsia. My guest is PGA head professional at Glen Arbor Golf Club in Bedford Hills, New York. He's a top 50 instructor for kids. He's a broadcaster, radio, author, band member. Does it pretty much does it all, and a wonderful guest on my show. And glad to have you, Brian. Want to just throw things to your experience now with Golf Channel and this idea of Lesson T Live, this sort of multimedia interactive Lesson T, if you will. How did this come about? What was the genesis for this idea? And what was it like, you know, getting a show started on the Golf Channel?
Yeah, that was quite a thrill. And listen, before I answer that, I want to thank you for what you're doing for golf, by the way. It's this show, and I've looked back, I've listened to a bunch of your previous work, and listen, man, you're helping to grow the game. You're doing a great job, and we really appreciate everything that Anthony Scorsia is doing for golf. So this is a pleasure for me.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
One last thing about the Masters, which I really should mention before
sure.
I get into that.
Yeah.
Drive, chip, and putt.
Yep.
The drive, chip, and putt program, that kicks off the Masters week, believe it or not, the Sunday before the week. But to see these kids qualify around the country, and if you're listening and you don't know about drive, chip, and putt, you can Google it, check it out on the masters.com site or on the PGA of America site. But this is like the punt, pass, and kick of golf.
Yep.
And kids are eating it up, and I think it's great for the game. So anyway.
Yeah, no, I agree. There's nothing, you know, when you see those visuals of the kids and their smiles and they're jumping up and down or whatever, I mean, that's what it's all about.
Yep. Oh, it's amazing. And they're making it fun. Again, I give a lot of credit to Augusta National and the First Tee and the PGA of America for getting that off the ground, because it's a fantastic program. And everybody out there with kids should check that out. So
absolutely.
But, yeah, the Golf Channel gig was fantastic, a great opportunity. What they wanted to do for those listening who remember the Academy Live show.
Sure.
That Peter Kessler used to host, where they brought in different instructors and players and interviewed them. I think that was really the inspiration for Lesson T Live. And I'm a huge fan of Martin Hall. I'm a huge fan of Michael Breed. They're both very good friends, and I love what they do. But Lesson T Live gave a different perspective every single week. We had all the greatest instructors were lined up here from Claude Harmon and David Ledbetter, Hank Haney, Jim McClain. It was really a cool opportunity for me. I was like a sponge hosting the show, but also learning from the best instructors. So when you talk about what can you bring back to your club, I had quite a toolbox to bring back to Glen Arbor after hosting those shows. And it was really a treat. It was on Wednesday nights from 8 to 9 o'clock for 16 weeks. And right now they're on a hiatus
yep.
for a little while. So, but it was a tremendous experience, and I hope it comes back.
Absolutely. You have a very uncanny ability to take, I think one of the important things as a teacher is to take sort of the, you know, something from the you know, the known to the unknown. I mean, you take something that seems every day and casual, like your latest little quick little video. I love the broken arrow and around your head, and you know, you have a little comedic spin to it. But to go from the known to the unknown, and to take a golfer there or a student there. I saw another video. You use toilet paper on a putting green. I mean, you know, these are things that people can identify with. They're things that people can visualize. You know, where do you get that from?
You just hit on what I think is really important for golf instruction, and that's visualization. So mm-hmm. I literally try to find ways to show people what I'm trying to say.
Right.
And I think it's a powerful way to teach. I think the best teachers, and to be honest with you, Anthony, maybe some of it comes from doing my radio show.
Yeah.
And where you're trying to get an image to pop into a listener's head, or from television when you want to provide a great image, and you find out really quickly what is entertaining visually and what isn't when you're doing television. And I've brought a lot of that back to my teaching style at the club as well. But I think those images stick with people. I mean, they really do. And I appreciate you mentioning the videos. I have a few on YouTube that are a lot of fun, and I think it needs to be quick. There needs to be a powerful image, and it's great. I had a lady who was who kept rising during the backswing.
Mm-hmm.
She couldn't help but rise up and make her spine angle more vertical during the backswing. So I had this whole thing rigged up where I had her imagining after her setup, the ceiling of the room dropped down, and there were nails coming out of the ceiling. So I actually got her to think this way.
Right, sure.
Take your setup, and then the ceiling is going to lower down to about an inch above your head, and there are very sharp nails in that ceiling.
Right.
I want you to rotate without, you know, impaling your head.
So yeah.
It was amazing how quick it worked. Sometimes it's as simple as that to help someone from rising during the backswing.
Yeah, no, and I think what I like about the visuals is also it speaks to more what I think is more student friendly, and that's broader, less detailed instruction. I think there's a place for it. There's no, don't get me wrong, to be specific,
mm-hmm.
but I think the visual to me is more brain compatible, if you will, visuals, because it just speaks to a sort of general understanding as opposed to a paint by numbers type of thing.
Right. And I think if they see how something is done, they can almost create their own journey to make it happen. It's not like it has to be technical and this angle needs to be here and this hinge needs to happen this way for that to happen. If you just say, man, you've got to stay under that ceiling, their body moves differently.
Sure.
And without talking about how it moves. I mean, I would rather show them something that hits them visually and they can perform with, and that they can take out to the golf course. That's the key. This lady can set up over any shot anywhere on the golf course and imagine that ceiling coming down, and she's locked in.
Sure.
It's a cool thing, and you're right. I think using the images is very helpful.
Yeah, absolutely. Brian, I got to take one more. Hopefully you'll stay on the line. I'm going to take one more break, and we'll come back. We'll wrap things up. You're listening to On Par with Anthony Scorsia.
It's here at last. Golf season. South Shore Golf specializes in golf club repair, regripping, and PGA golf instruction. They will not be undersold. They will match all local prices. For more information, call South Shore Golf, 631-563-2025, 631-563-2025, or check them out online at southshoregolf.net. Heading out east, how about a quick and easy stop for all your golf needs? Let South Shore Golf take your game to the next level.
All right, welcome back to On Par with Anthony Scorsia. My guest is PGA head professional at Glen Arbor Golf Club, Brian Kroll. Brian, we talked about your work at the Masters. We talked about your work with Golf Channel, your radio show, you're in a band, you do all these things, and I know you're in the golf industry, so you don't play as much golf as people like to think that you do, that people do in the golf industry, but...
I wish I could play more, don't you?
Yeah, absolutely, and then you throw kids into the mix, and that just blows your schedule right out of the water, but... how much golf? I'm just curious if you've played much on Long Island. Do you have a particular course favorite on Long Island? You know, anything that comes to mind?
Are we blessed or what?
Oh,
in this Met section, it's crazy. I mean, everywhere you turn, there's great golf.
So exactly.
I hate to even say anything that would offend anybody.
Yeah.
One of my favorites of all time is just off Long Island, and that's Fisher's Island.
Oh, sure.
What a special place. And again, I'm kind of drawn to the courses that are close to the water and have some history,
sure.
And which makes me think of National Golf Links as
yep.
well, Maidstone. I just love those classic traditional designs that have a little touch of the ocean there. So
yeah, absolutely. Fisher's is on my it's still on my bucket list, but National would be my. I mean, every course has its own little story and its own little, intrigue, if you will.
Yep.
And I love, all of them. To me, National was just so much fun because of the way it's set up and the way, the questions that it asks you as a golfer is really a lot of fun. And then, the idea of having options around the course to get your way around it.
Yeah, there's a lot of creativity. I mean, it just does make you think. You're right.
Yeah, and I think what people don't what's great, and I think people forget, is that having options around golf is not just we say, well, that's the way the game was played, or invented, or whatever the case may be, that link styles golf. But for the average golfer, people need different types of questions to be asked of them on the golf course because. Not because it's just because it's more fun, but also people don't have the games that the pros have. They the pros can answer any question. We may
right.
only, some amateurs may only be able to hit the ball very low. So they need that option, and so they need multiple questions to be asked of them and more options to be asked of them because their games are limited.
That's a great point. And you know what? I really wanted to say something on your program, too, to the folks listening. I just urge everybody to try different formats of play. Try an alternate shot one day. Try a two-man scramble against another two-man scramble in your foursome.
Yep.
Try different teeing grounds. You'd be surprised how much fun you could have. And I know it's tough for egos.
Sure.
These players just want to go all the way back to the tips.
Yep.
But... I dare them to play golf from the forward set of tees and see what they have to do, see what choices they have to make off the tee. There are a lot of things that if you put your ego aside, you can have a lot of fun. You can also get better at the game. You can start working
yep.
on parts of your game that you've been avoiding because you're playing from the same set of tees. It would be really fun to have more people do that.
Absolutely. Well, Brian, I can't thank you enough for making this another fun half hour for me and our listeners. You're the best, consummate professional, wonderful instructor, and really enjoyed having you on this week.
Anthony, it's been a pleasure, and thank you so much again for everything you do for golf. This has been a treat, man. Thanks again.
Well, thank you. I appreciate the kind words, and hopefully I'll run into you soon.
For sure. You're on my show before the end of the month.
All right, you got it. Take care.
All right,
that's Brian Kroll, the PGA head professional, Glen Arbor Golf Club. Really enjoyed having him on. Thank you, folks, for another great week. We'll see you next week on Par with Anthony Scorsese.